It's very, very good to be together. And what I would like to do this morning is to continue where we've been the last few weeks and really end up this consideration of some of the lesser names of Jesus. And so today I want to look at two of them because they weave together with something that's important for our lives and the way that Jesus deals with us and reveals himself to us. And one name is Son of God and the other is Son of Man. Now, it's not that those are lesser known names that much, but usually we don't go around when we're talking about Jesus. I mean, if you go around talking about Jesus, but when you do, you probably don't say, well, the Son of Man says this. You're just not in our normal conversation like that. Son of God, maybe a little more, but really not all that much. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of something that's going on in this community, which I'll share with you, but please reserve your boos and hisses for like Wednesday or Thursday, okay? As you may have noticed, even right across the street and in other places in our county, there's some development going on. Have you noticed that? Some of you live there, actually. So as we go along with that development, there are people, the developers and others who think this is a great idea, saying this is great. We can go ahead and do this and really retain what is beautiful and unique about our county and our community. And then there are others who say, well, yes, I mean, people want to live here. I want to live here, all that. But we're wary about how that goes because too much of the wrong kind of thing and what is unique and beautiful about our community will disappear. You've probably heard both of those, haven't you? Now, there's a dynamic in that it's interesting. Maybe it's a little more than interesting to some of you, but it's interesting. And it's this. I've never heard anyone say, I want to get rid of what's unique about our county. Everyone is saying, this is a wonderful place, and there's things that we can do to magnify that, to keep it going. They want to get into what is exactly wonderful and unique about our county. As I was thinking about that, it strikes me that there's something about us, the way that we're created, that wants to get to the heart of things, wants to see what's going on, what's unique about whatever it is that's in front of us. We enjoy it better that way. We tend to love things more deeply when we know what is unique about them, what's wonderful about them, what's the nature of them. And of course, pick your topic, and there'll be people who come at that from all different angles. And sometimes the people from different angles will have some spirited discussions concerning that, as you've probably witnessed from time to time. What I want to suggest to you is that we approach Jesus in the same way. I mean, someone who's really starting to get interested in Jesus or feels that little prompt or pull from the Holy Spirit, one of the things that's going on is, what is this Jesus really like? And there's people who come at that from different angles. There's some who come at that from Bible study. When you know the Bible, you will see the real Jesus. There's others who come at that from prayer or different kinds of prayer, contemplative prayer. When you are able to be with Jesus in a contemplative way, then you really know the real Jesus. There's all kinds of other angles, as you can see. If you worship correctly, or whatever, you can probably come up with a lot of them. But you see what's going on. It's all driving at what is the real thing about this one. And that's God. That's God drawing us to know him more deeply, more completely, more fully, in a way that affects our lives in every aspect of our lives. And that's what these two names of Jesus really bring us to. even these two names, I mean, they won't be complete, but you get an awful lot of what Jesus is like and who he is with these two names, Son of God and Son of Man. And so I want to just take a few minutes to look at those together and see how they weave together. Now, the most familiar one for most of us is Son of God, and we can really get a pretty accurate picture of that, what the Son of God is. What's very, very interesting, at least to me anyway, maybe it'll be to you, I hope so anyway, but what's interesting is Jesus never took the title Son of God for himself. It was always other people calling him the Son of God. I don't think he ever said, no, you can't call me that. But he never took it for himself, never referred to himself as the Son of God. And there's some very prominent examples of this. One is when he was on the cross, at the moment after his death, the Roman centurion said, after seeing the way he died, said, truly, this was the Son of God. And you may recall that Jesus' baptism. And there he is in the wilderness, John the Baptist and all kinds of people around. And right at the moment of his baptism, the heavens open up. The Holy Spirit descends as a dove. And the voice of the Father comes out and says, this is my beloved Son. See, it's the designation of the Son of God. And one of the most interesting ones of all of them is, you remember when he was tempted in the wilderness. And three times Satan says to him, if you are the Son of God, then do this. Recognized him as the Son of God. Now, what that opens up for us is this. The more you see Jesus, the more you know of Jesus, the more you know God. When you look at Jesus in the Gospels, the more you learn from the Gospels of him, the more you learn of God. When you're praying and you feel you've connected with Jesus, the more you connect with Jesus, the more you've connected with God. It just reveals God. Terry Fulham used to say that Jesus is God with a face. So when you see that Jesus, for example, is compassionate, in the Gospels, then you know that God is compassionate. If you see that Jesus is merciful, then you know that God is merciful. If you see that Jesus is providing, you know that God will provide. And so on. Everything you see in Jesus is what God is. All of it. It can be easy for some to be thinking about Jesus and thinking about their own life and thinking, well, God is way out there, not interested in my life. And some people say, and to tell you the truth, I prefer it that way. There's further away is the better. Nonetheless, that's not true. It's just not true. Because Jesus is like us, and he's close to us. God is right there. Wherever Jesus is, that's the presence of God. And of course, he's right here, right now. Now, what that opens up to us is the description of Jesus as the Son of Man. And more than 80 times in the Gospels, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. That's very interesting, I think. Never refers to himself as the Son of God, and yet continually refers to himself as the Son of Man. So, what do we do with that? What's that mean, that he's the Son of Man, and that's what he calls himself? What it means basically is this. Because he is the Son of Man, and because of that bridge, he's God with a face, he's like us. The things that we see Jesus doing are the things we can do. Is everyone okay? think of anything that you saw Jesus doing in the Gospels, with the exception of paying for our sins, anything else, we can do that. Because he is the Son of Man, he is releasing the power of the kingdom. Through the door he opened on the cross. Now, here's a test. You can think about it. Let it roll around in your mind. If you think you will never be capable, that God will never use you ever to do the things that Jesus did, then your God is probably more than an arm's length away. Just think about that, you know. Don't feel bad about it. Just think about it. Let it roll around. See what God has to say about that. But all of that is what we're called to do. Now, often what happens is that people will, they'll get that idea, they'll think about it and say, oh, wait a minute, I don't know about that. And usually what has happened is in our minds, we've jumped to, this is me now. I see everything that Jesus does in the Gospels, so we think everything that he did do in the Gospels is my specific assignment. And no, that's not the case. Any one of those things might be your assignment, or maybe a few of them, but not everything. Because the whole church is the body of Christ. So you may never be called on to do everything that Jesus did in the Gospels, but the capacity for it, the empowerment for it, comes from the Son of Man. It's the Son of Man who releases the power of the kingdom to us, into our lives. One example in the Scriptures is this. You might remember the man who was paralyzed, and four friends put him on a cot or stretcher of some kind, brought him up. They couldn't get him close to Jesus, so they carry him up on the roof. If I were the guy on that cot, I'd say, what are you guys doing? Stop. I'd be paralyzed. I couldn't stop them. But they're taking him up. They drop him down. Everybody's looking. Everybody's thinking, what's he going to do now? They're murmuring about Jesus. He hears it. And he says, to show that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Take up your mat, rise, and walk. So what did the Son of Man do? Gave him an assignment. His sins were forgiven, and what flows out of that is he gives him an assignment. Rise, take up your mat, and walk. When you have the forgiveness of sins just rolling around in your soul, and you know that that's what's going on, even if you're not all that aware of it, what comes immediately after that is Jesus calling you to do something. This man's call was to start walking around like everybody else and then see what happens. How do you think his parents felt when he walked home that day? The kingdom was extended far beyond that house. We receive the forgiveness of sins, then there comes a call on our life, and we can walk into that because the Son of Man, who has walked that path before us, has given us the power and the ability to answer that call and to do what he's asked. And that comes from the Son of God, who has released mercy and released forgiveness and released his love to us. Out of that love, we are able to respond to him and move in the manner he's asked us to move. Do the things he's asked us to do. Which could be anything that he did when he walked the earth. What that takes is getting to know him. So for example, the healing ministry of the church when it's modeled after the healing ministry of Jesus. You do it like Jesus did. Well, how was that? He told the sicknesses to go. He didn't say, well, Father, if it be your will that this person get better, that would be great. No, he just told the sickness to go. I've mentioned to this before, but just to underline it, if you're wondering whether or not it's God's will that you get better, why would you go to the doctor and ask the doctor to go against God's will? If you're thinking, oh, maybe it's not God's will that I get better. Why ask the doctor to violate God's will? You can email me an answer for that later. You go in the way that Jesus went. And you pray the way he prayed, looking for the things that happened with him. Now, I know that healing doesn't always happen. I know that things don't go the way we want them to go. I understand that. I experience that. I know that that happens. And there's many reasons for that. But we do not want to be here until Wednesday or Thursday reviewing those things. Well, wait a minute, do we? No, okay. So it's just, you are called by him to do the things that he did. And he gives you the power to do it because he is the Son of Man. That's what that means. That's what we read in the first reading today from Daniel, where it says, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him, the Son of Man, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." That is the life into which we are called. The life in which all dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages would serve him. He calls us into a section of that. And as the Son of Man empowers us to take up our mat, rise, and walk into the places he's prepared. As I've mentioned before, and I'll remind you because I have to remind myself constantly, in order to do those things that Jesus asks you to do, you must have his power to do it. It's not that we do it on our own power. What we do is turn to him, receive the power, and then walk in the way he asks us to walk. Do the things he's asked us to do. Let me give you one more example, and then I'll ask you some questions. One of the most profound things that Jesus did was to forgive. I am thinking that right at the moment there's some people came to your minds that you have found very difficult to forgive. Please don't call out their names. The reason for that, the reason those people came to mind, and that you recognize it's very difficult to forgive, it's because you must have the empowerment from the Son of Man to forgive them. You might turn to Jesus and say, I know you have forgiven them. I know that that is what you desire for them to be forgiven. I'm having trouble doing it. I can't. Would you give me the ability to set them free? Would you give me what you see in them? Would you allow me to see the thing that you see in their hearts so that I can start relating to them the way that you do? That's how you begin to receive the power of the Son of Man. Saying, Jesus, I see what you do in the Gospels. I want to be like you. Give me the ability to do it. I want to forgive like you. Give me the ability to do it. Now, what will happen is you'll get that power to do it. And you'll feel that call to go into what you've asked as well as into other things that he has in mind for you. And it'll be an invitation into that life of the kingdom. And then there'll be a challenge that comes after that. And that challenge is the challenge that widens the place of your soul so that the greater promises he has for you as your life goes on have a place to fit in your life. It's the purpose of the challenge. So if you can do a challenge where you think, this is hard, I don't want to do this, why is God not blessing me? I would suggest you go down the path of saying, God, help me see where you are and to go through this challenge so that I can receive every promise you have for my life and take every step you want me to take. All right. Think about these things. Ask God about them. Ask him to shape your life to be like that so that you can follow after the Son of God who is the Son of Man. And what specifically do you need this morning? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need to receive his mercy in some way? Is there some piece of shame that needs to be washed away? He will do that because he is the Son of God and his love will flow just from the cross to you because he's the Son of God. Or having done that, do you need to receive direction or power to do what it seems he's asked you to do? You might use the words of the last song we sang, Lord, I give you my life. You might use all those words. And then ask for that power to do what he's asked you to do. I really want to encourage you to do that this week. Today, over the next couple days, whenever it is, just go ahead and do that. So you can get to the heart of who he is and how to follow him. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we recognize you as the Son of God and the Son of Man. We ask that we would receive your love this day in the way that you desire for us to receive it. And we'd be filled with your grace and your mercy. And then we'd also be filled with your power that we might walk in the steps you desire for us to walk in. And we'd be just like you in everything we do. And we ask for this, for the glory of your name. Amen. Profess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.